Hello, sunshine. Happy Friday. Yay. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news, where we tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. We're going to start today with the latest news on migrants in the U.S. The headline, the number of people crossing the U.S.-Mexico border is on the rise. Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 200,000 migrants illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border in September alone, the highest number this year. Why? Analysts say there's a complex mix of factors at play here, including changes to the U.S. border policy back in May, increases in violence in certain parts of Mexico, and economic crises in places like Venezuela. The issues at the border are not new. Several presidential administrations in a row have wrestled with the situation, and the solutions are not simple. How much money should the government spend on border security? What methods should be used to secure the border? How should people trying to cross the border be processed? Those are just some of the biggest sticking points with this issue. The city of San Diego, California, recently declared a humanitarian crisis, asking for more federal resources in dealing with the increase of migrants. CNN's Camila Bernal is in San Diego at the U.S.-Mexico border to give us a closer look at the growing crisis.
A dramatic increase. Español? Hundreds of migrants almost constantly arriving in waves into the California border.
What country?
Russia.
Sometimes 50 or 100 or just 5. Many with the help of a so-called coyote or smuggler. We ran into one operating openly at the border. He asked us not to show his face and distort his voice.
He says to get to the U.S. you need at least $2,500.
The illegal trafficking of people operating almost like a travel agency. The coyotes arrange the trip, starting in the Middle East, Asia, South or Central America. Then they buy plane tickets and tell migrants exactly where to go. With each paying a few $1,000s or between $9,000 to $12,000 for Mexican nationals, the business is lucrative.
He says they're at war with another cartel, and so the only way they can get money is by bringing people in.
Sí, sí, señora.
People like Alexander.
Por la violencia que vive en Colombia.
He says he came here because of the violence that you live in Colombia.
The number of hundreds of people being here at any given time over the last couple of weeks is not normal.
Behind me is Mexico. This is an area in Boulevard, California, where there is a gap in the border wall, so a lot of the migrants are able to just walk into the United States. They continue this walk along the border wall and eventually turn themselves into Border Patrol. This is where that asylum process begins.
San Diego is not the only city dealing with an influx of migrants and asylum seekers. In New York City, the shelter system is straining under the influx of migrants. So, officials are pushing back against a legal agreement that says they have to provide emergency housing. This week, the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, is traveling through Latin America where he says he will discourage migrants from coming to New York. And in Chicago, the governor, J.B. Pritzker, and the mayor, Brandon Johnson, confronted top White House officials demanding they take steps to address the migrant crisis. President Biden pledged in 2020 to never build another foot of wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, saying that it was not a serious policy solution. But now, citing high illegal entry, his administration has just announced it will waive 26 federal laws in order to build and add 20 more miles of border barriers in the Rio Grande Valley. It's an area with especially high illegal entries. From last October to August, there were nearly 300,000 encounters there. There are no easy solutions, and the number of border crossings is expected to increase further as local and federal agencies continue to grapple with solutions. 10-second trivia. Kabul is the capital city of what country? Pakistan, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, or Yemen? Kabul is the capital of Afghanistan, a nation of about 39 million people. Next, we have a story about a courageous group of young women in Afghanistan who are having to secretly get an education. The Taliban, a radical group, took over the country in 2021 after the U.S. controversially pulled out its troops, and that's when life got difficult, especially for women. They shut down schools for women, they banned them from public spaces. But we're about to meet a group of young women who are sneaking and secretly getting an education because they feel it's absolutely worth the risk.
You are witnessing a courageous act of rebellion. Young girls gathered to learn in a secret classroom. To the Taliban, they are criminals, defying a ban on female education. But these students say they're determined to continue their schooling, no matter the cost. Two of them told us why. I've told myself that even if the Taliban arrest me, I will stand up and tell them I don't want to be kept at home. She says, I just want to learn, and that is not a crime. CNN was granted access to this underground classroom on the condition we conceal the identity of the students and staff and keep the location hidden. Around 30 students huddle into this little room to learn everything from science to math to tailoring and drawing. This is one of 9 secret schools that educate more than 400 girls across 8 Afghan provinces. It is operated by a clandestine network called Sirak. Families find the program through word of mouth, and demand is growing. It was founded by this woman, Peristo Hakim. She says because of her activism, she was recently forced to flee Afghanistan. But in the summer of 2021, as Kabul fell to the Taliban, she tells us she anticipated the ban on female education and got to work.
So we were watching some documentaries. I was looking at Afghan women sitting up NGOs in like hidden undergrounded places.
Inspired in part by Christiane Amanpour's 1996 CNN documentary Battle for Afghanistan, Hakim began to follow the example of women set nearly 25 years ago.
I love my work. It's my right to work, and I need to work.
Afghanistan is fully shattered. It is in darkness.
The Taliban is forcing women into this darkness, effectively erasing them from much of public life. The UN says the group's draconian rules may amount to gender apartheid and crimes against humanity. But this little classroom in the shadows provides a ray of hope. The school is like a light for me, she says. It is like a road for me that I can see happiness and sunrise at the end of it. Brave women and girls dreaming of a future without the Taliban and boldly preparing to step out into the light again.
All right, for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a 104-year-old skydiver. Dorothy Hoffner in Ottawa, Illinois, kicked her walker to the curb, then went up in a plane 13,500 feet, and she reportedly said, "Let's go, Geronimo!" Miss Dorothy coming in hot, zooming and falling at a speed of 120 miles per hour. It's believed that she has just set the record for oldest person to ever tandem skydive. The world record was set in 2022 in Sweden by a 103-year-old, but Miss Dorothy's bid has been sent to the Guinness World Records for certification. She said she wasn't scared at all, and this reminds us that it's never too late to chase our dreams. She didn't start skydiving until she was 100 years old. Today's shout out goes to Miss Dorothy and Mr. Crosby and the whole crew at Trail Ridge Middle School in Shawnee Mission, Kansas. Rise up. Thanks to all of you who've learned and laughed with us this week. Before we send you out with a look back at some of the memorable moments we've shared, remember, you are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire. We are CNN 10. It's been a blessing to spend this week with you.